This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
More than 100 women's college basketball players have joined a unionization campaign with the United College Athletics Association. So the UCAA, the organization announced Friday, making them the largest group of college athletes to formally push to collectively bargain with their schools. The group is aiming to represent, according to ESPN, the NCAA athletes across all sports and eventually form divisions for which each sport to bargain separately. After more than 6 months of quietly building a base of women's basketball players, they launched the campaign today to expand membership. The UCAA announced that Oregon State's basketball team, where 10 of the 13 players have signed union cards, filed a petition Friday to be recognized as union members and to negotiate with the university. Jenna Villa, Oregon State senior, said, "We want one voice." While the team's leading, she was the team's leading scorer last year and a member of the UCAA's 10-person interim executive committee. So now the reason this is significant, I mean, it's very significant. They're coming out, man. The players are coming out more and more. And you're seeing, we talked about the Brock Wisney story. That's a different thing. But the 5 for 5, kind of how that class is getting screwed over on this. It's important for them to have voices, man. One of the players, Baluchi Okonwa, who's a Maryland senior, also a member of the interim executive committee with the UCAA, said, "We are professional athletes. Although the NCAA begs to differ, we are employees." Yeah, well then, I agree. You're basically employees. I've been saying it for years, Michael. You're either an employee or you're a student athlete. I think that choice is going to have to be made someday. I think college is leaning toward that, where eventually you can get a scholarship, but you don't get money. But this is again, just part of opening this door to what we're going to see. I saw a post from Senator Ted Cruz on the Protect College Sports Act. He tweeted this out yesterday. "There's confusion about how the cap and associated entity language work in the Protect College Sports Act. Let me be clear." He says, "The cap is a hard cap. Full stop. That loophole is closed. Once a school hits the cap, a player can still do NIL deals on the open market if the deal is genuinely commercial and the school isn't directing it." That's very clear. And they're trying to regulate this. But what he's writing is exactly how I understand this to be, and it's exactly how I understand it should be. No different than professional sports. You have a cap. If you go over it, You cannot tell people that you have NIL money waiting for them. They have to organize those deals organically between them, an agent, and an outside entity. The problem is, you can say that. Isn't that already the plan? Isn't that already the rule? You have cap hit. You're over it. You can't go over it. You've already hit it. But we know schools are still saying, because we keep hearing things like, "Well, actually, this school has, Ohio State has $40 million. Well, that's great. They can't do anything with that $40 million because it's only supposed to be $22 million.
Revamp your locker room.
What?
I mean, if you're like $15 million over whatever they're not the using salary it for locker, cap is, you use that $15 million for something else.
They're using it for players. They're not using it for a locker room. They're using it for players.
And they should not be allowed to go over the limit.
Right,
if that's
what's
the rule.
Keeping them from doing that? Like, what's keeping them from offering money that they don't have in their actual salary cap portion that's in that bag compared to what they know could come in from donors? What's keeping them? I mean, what they're doing is against the rules, but they've been doing that this whole time. And they'll continue to do that. I don't know how you regulate that. I really don't. And they're trying to, but it's as simple as just making sure your NIL donor money is just becoming more legitimate. Your kid's going to have to do more things than just getting $1 million. But the problem is, and I like that he laid it out like this because it does simplify it. The school can't control it. If the deal is genuinely commercial and the school isn't directing it, meaning we're over the cap, we really want you to come play running back for us, Michael. We don't have anything else in the cap, but here's a number to call, and here's a number they'd be willing to give you. Take that note and run with it. And that's how, it's probably not happening exactly like that, but that's pretty much happening. How do you keep that conversation from going on? And then when the donor comes in and says, okay, here's $1 million, I got to have you come do like 4 appearances for me. You know, they that would make it probably more commercial. So the only way you're going to stop cheating, the only way you're going to stop this is what I think these women are fighting for here. It's to essentially make them employees. You sign them to legitimate contracts. If they're signed to legitimate contracts, then a school can reach out to this kid until they're blue in the face. Doesn't matter. You cannot break the contract. That's just against the rules.
Or you buy him out.
Or whatever. You trade. You're going to see trades and all this stuff happening. This is where we're headed. If you don't think we're headed there, because again, what the senators are trying to do in this Protect College Sports Act is try to just make it more obvious as to what the rules are. I still don't know how you can fight that. It is so easy to skirt those lines and say things and promise kids money that you're not supposed to have. But we just kept hearing, you know, ever since this happened, when teams jumped into after the Supreme Court ruling and all that, of, okay, it is a hard cap of $22 million. But then we would hear, well, Ohio State just has, they had $20 million from the beginning. Now they have $40 million. Well, wait, they can't do anything with that extra $20 million. Well, that's through pledges of donor money that they have, and they can use that. They'll use that to disperse. But that's what Senator Cruz is posting here. If the deal is genuinely commercial and the school isn't directing it, that's the point. And I got a text here. I saw this tweet from the Ram U, a great listener of ours. How is there a cap when once the cap is hit, groups can do a deal with a player? Basically says there's a cap until you hit the cap, then the player can do their own thing to go beyond the cap. That's the problem. Well, it's not really a problem because you should still be able. That's the whole point of all of this. This is actually the most important point of all of this. I've said from day one, you should still be able to make money off your name, image, and likeness. The problem is the order of operations. Michael, we were just talking about algebra the other day and math. The order of operations. It is supposed to go, we have the money, we're at our max. If you want to play here, come play. It's up to you to negotiate NIL deals, but you are free to do it. The problem is teams cheat, programs cheat. They get that information to a student athlete that, hey, I know we're over the cap, but we do have more money in the coffers. You just need to connect with the right people. That's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to show up and organically find those NIL partners.
In 1987, SMU was given the death penalty. Their entire season was canceled, set them back decades. If you really want to make this happen, you got to do something like that. Like, not necessarily cancel the games, but you basically say, okay, here is some kind of sanction against you. Like, worse than just bowl games.
But
you have to make it serious.
But they're not finding out about it.
if they find out about it. If they find out, oh, 5 years you did this, we're going to punish you now.
But players for years have been getting money under the table, and we only find out about a very few, a select few. The Reggie Bush story was huge, but you know, Michael, you know, deep down, there were 100 more of those stories, if not thousands more.
Carson Palmer probably had some scratch.
Way more. So that was illegal then. You couldn't do that. But certain stories got out, and those guys were punished. Reggie Bush lost his Heisman.
He got it back,
but at the time he lost his Heisman.
Stupid.
So the rules were always there, but we've always broken them.
If you have more contracts, if you have contracts, that helps keep things on the level. But you're going to have an investigation wing of
Well, that's
the
what
NCAA.
They're supposed to do with their, I think it's the CSC, whatever it is supposed to be able to turn away NIL deals if they don't deem them commercial. But how do you turn them away if they are commercial, but they were promised in a sports illegal way? Kind of like what's going on with the Clippers and Ballmer and Kawhi Leonard is exactly what's happening in college sports. I've always said this on the show, Mike, and again, it's illegal in sports to do this. If you have a guy that wants $20 million, but you're already, in NBA's terms, you're already in the second apron, what's to keep you from saying, we can get you $15, but talk to our guy at blank dealership, and they'll get you to your $5? What's to keep teams from doing that? And the answer is, nothing until you get caught. It probably happens more than we know. You hear a player get a pay cut, I hear, yeah, they found money somewhere else. And that's what's happening in college sports.
That's why your punishment has to be, and I hate to say this, but your punishment has to be so drastic that it sets your program back several years. And then other programs are going to go, Ohio State lost their salary cap. And these businesses that were doing things not on the level
You can't punish your big tickets all the time. You start punishing your big tickets, you start losing, they start losing, and suddenly they're not as appealing, and the TV deals aren't as appealing. That's a lot of this is they knew. A lot of these things we knew about, man. You got Sarkisian, like, freely talking about this on podcasts. Like, hey, yeah, we used to just give money through the back door. Now we can walk and give it through the front door. And we laugh and we go, ha, 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 that's funny. But that's what's still happening. And it's just a known thing. And the NCAA was kind of powerless. They couldn't investigate all that. They don't have the bandwidth. And it's so easy to lie about it. It's so easy to be sneaky about it, man.
They're going to have to do this to your Michigan, Ohio State, Arizona teams if they're, like, cheating. They already do stuff. They did something to Florida State a number of years ago. They did something to Penn State.
And they might be doing something to North
UNC.
Carolina, too, with this whole investigation going on with, with Belichick's right-hand man.
Yeah, if it's found out that the coaching staff is doing some things that are wrong, has to be big punishments. Someone's going to have to go first. UNC, University of Northern Colorado, they got punished in 2008, and that sucked because they're, you know, not too big to fail. But you're going to have to bite the bullet and say, okay, this big popular university was cheating.
It could
have
be
to punish them
that
hard.
Could be North Carolina coming up. That he's being investigated.
Yeah, but like
Michael Lombardi,
their football team. Who cares about their football team? If you do that to the basketball team,
No. Bill Belichick changed everything on that. You say who cares about their football team? Michael, were you under a rock last year? They were one of the most talked about football programs in the country last year because Bill Belichick and his girlfriend were trotting all over the place on the field.
It was Bill Belichick and his girlfriend, but like,
so
no,
when you say who cares
really,
about North
nobody
Carolina,
truly cares.
Yes, they do. They absolutely do. 100% they do. Bill Belichick, the greatest coach to ever do it, is on a football team, and you think nobody cares about that? Same as CU.
What has he done in college? Nobody cared about.
He's been in 1 year, Mike. He's still Bill Belichick. He's going to be here for 5 years before that goes away. Same with CU. They were irrelevant. Coach Prime made them the most talked about program for 2 years. Now they're fading. You can't say that UNC, North Carolina, is irrelevant today when they have Bill Belichick as their head coach.
Show me what they do in 5 years.
Doesn't matter.
In 5 years, if they're a powerhouse,
but you
then
saying
that's a good
you saying
program to punish.
You saying they are irrelevant right now is ridiculous because Bill Belichick is the coach. It doesn't matter how many wins or losses they have. They are talked about. Whether they win or lose, it's still a story.
If
they win or lose with random Joe Schmo, it's not a story. But with Bill Belichick, it's a story. So to say they're not relevant, positively or negatively, is wrong.
No, it's right.
No.
Look, I'll compare CU to USC because they were in the same conference.
And you're saying CU wasn't relevant when they hired Coach Prime? They were the most talked about program in all of sports for 1 year.
They were one of the least relevant. They got a little more relevant, but if you punish them, they go back to being no one cares about them. If it's USC, who has a history of winning championships.
You're talking about winning. I'm talking about relevancy in terms of talk about. If this story breaks that Michael Lombardi is doing something sneaky with NIL dollars, this is a massive story, and because it's with Bill Belichick, that's why. That puts this story in the spotlight, 100%.
Yeah, sure, but I'm talking about, like, overall, they haven't been relevant for years. No one thinks about them.
They're
thinking about them now.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
They're thinking about them now, but it's not, if they go back to being nothing, eh, who cares?
You're making my point. Like, you're saying they're talking about them now. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying North Carolina was relevant before Bill Belichick got there. You hire Bill Belichick, they are relevant in terms of spotlight. Maybe not on the field, but in terms of spotlight. And if something comes crashing down at North Carolina under Bill Belichick's watch, this is a massive story. This is not small podunk school that nobody cares about because Bill Belichick changed that. Same with Coach Prime and CU.
Didn't change him enough. It has to be a school. If all of them are doing it, there's a difference between Oklahoma being punished and CU being punished. Oklahoma has a big, better history of football. So when you damage them and their reputation,
If something negative happens under Coach Prime's watch, it is just as big as if it happens at Michigan today. Yes.
No. It's they're not a legacy program.
It doesn't matter if you're a legacy program. If you have the biggest spotlight on you, and to say that Bill Belichick does not have one of the biggest spotlights on him in all of sports, you are out of your mind. You are wrong.
Yeah, you punish a team that's you know, today is popular. They're going to go back to being nothing if they were never popular and no one's going to care again. But if it's Oklahoma, and Oklahoma has had the attention for so many years, that truly is a team that you want to punish,
Michael,
if you find them.
Top five stories for the last 2 weeks has been North Carolina. Last year with Bill Belichick, they were always in the top five stories, win or lose. I'm talking. So this would be a shock to the system if something bad happened in North Carolina because Bill Belichick is there.
It's a small shock to the system.
No, it's not.
Look. You go from nothing to really popular to nothing.
You're off on this.
Completely different than a team that's always been good.
Dude, CU hasn't done anything. And for 2 years, they received more talk than Indiana. They received more talk than maybe not Michigan, but there was more talk around CU than I would say at least 10 other relevant programs that are considered better, more powerful. But Coach Prime did that, and you cannot tell me that I'm wrong on that because they had their Good Morning Football, whatever the hell it is, their Saturday college football show. They featured them several times in that first year. That was because they knew that was the meal ticket, man. The ratings were off the roof. The clicks were off the roof.
But Oklahoma, a school like Oklahoma, always a meal ticket.
But I'm not arguing that Oklahoma is not. But you're arguing that Bill Belichick does not make North Carolina popular.
He does. That's not what I'm arguing.
You said they're not relevant.
I'm saying that popularity isn't going to be as, you know, devastating yes, it, to NCAA.
Greatest
NCAA.
Coach of all time, Bill Belichick's in, North yeah, Carolina yeah. football
this is
program
a now thing.
Caught
this is
cheating.
A now
yes,
thing.
It is a now thing because Bill Belichick's on the team. If this isn't discovered, Michael Lombardi doing something negative, and we don't know that that's the case at all right now, but we do kind of have a hint that the CSC is kind of involved. That's all we know right now. If this comes down and something negative happened and they were cheating in a big way, yeah, North Carolina under the Hall of Fame, he will be, Bill Belichick, that would be one of the biggest scandal sports stories in all of sports history. And you
it'll
shake
be,
your head.
It'll be a scandal.
So Bill Belichick
for 10 years.
Is just a regular coach. He's just a regular guy to you. That doesn't do anything to move the needle. He's won five, six Super Bowls. He's going to go down as the greatest coach to ever do it. And that doesn't say that's one of the biggest scandals under his watch ever.
It's a big scandal. But if it happens under a team that has historically been great.
So what happens?
That's going to be a bigger impact. You go from today, they are relevant. They are in the news, even though they weren't that good. And, you know, again, you said it's his first year. That's a great point that everybody should remember. Coaches don't always win their first couple years. But they were nothing. They became something for the news outlet.
Because
but
of Bill
it's not
Belichick.
Going to be as devastating as...
Oh, my gosh.
You
are so wrong on this.
If Prime went to Oklahoma or Florida State, especially Florida State, because that's where he went in college, they would be an even bigger story than him at CU. They would be a bigger story.
I'm not arguing that, but the fact is they are, well, at least maybe not this year, simmering a little bit, but when he was hired... That was one of the biggest stories in all of college sports.
It was, but it's one of those now things that's not going to be devastating.
No,
it's
it would
going
be devastating.
To be devastating if you're...
Bill Belichick is greater than any coach that exists that is head coaching in college
sports
right now.
I'm not arguing that. I'm arguing timeline.
No.
I'm arguing
Go Poke says you're spot on about UNC. Thank you. Vanderbilt was also irrelevant. Things change, Mike. Would enforcement against Indiana be meaningful, Mike?
Not as meaningful
what?
As if it was Michigan.
Kurt Cignetti's literally dominating Michigan, all headlines today.
Michigan is almost always good. When they win eight games a season,
you're thinking of wins and losses. You're
fireable.
Not thinking of, this is why you will not ever, ever manage the marketing aspect of ESPN or CBS or any of those. Kurt Cignetti is dominating all college headlines today.
For now.
Today, though, if scandal comes out about Indiana, biggest story ever.
I'm not saying it's not going to be a big story. Yeah, people are going to cover it.
You're saying it's irrelevant.
It's just bigger if you have Alabama, who's good every year, has been good for 20 years, mm-mm. had a dip for a bit, but they were good.
No.
They've been good for
you
years.
You put the most popular head football coach of all time, like or hate, whatever, on a football team, anything that guy does becomes one of the big stories, and that is Bill Belichick. 28 minutes after the hour, we got to take a break. Benjamin Albright joining us for Broncos Country tonight a little bit later on. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe.
Did you know you can hear your favorite KMKA shows anytime? Find podcasts of Good Morning NoCo, Coach Speak, and the whole show on Apple, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, we know Benjamin Albright just giving me an update, Michael. He's going to be late. He's at camp now. He's going to call us when he can, but we might be looking at closer to 120. Is that okay with you?
That actually works perfectly.
Trying to write the number to him. What's our number?
970.
There we go.
353.
There we go.
1310.
There we go. You're way off on this take, but very fun conversation.
You're here and now, and that's fine. That's fine here and now. I'm talking about overall long-term.
What is the name of Michigan's former head coach that they just fired?
What's his name?
Yeah, what's his name?
He had been there for like 2 years.
So we're not talking about it anymore, and it happened.
And Michigan has been devastated.
And it happened with one of the most successful storied football programs in college sports.
But I'm talking about if you want to punish him, and you really want to punish him, and you want to make an example of him, make it Michigan, not CU.
If it's under Coach
Michigan's
Prime,
devastated for 10 years. That is a story.
I don't even know what the base of our argument is. We're just trying. We're arguing over whether or not Bill Belichick made North Carolina relevant in terms of clicks and talks, and he absolutely did.
Yeah, there's a difference between relevant now and then nothing later, and relevant all the time.
Who's the most popular college football program right now? July 31st.
It's probably still Alabama.
Okay, leave it there. Alabama. Come on, head coach. Your guy, Washington.
DeBoer.
DeBoer, thank you. Kalen DeBoer?
Yeah.
Kalen DeBoer, caught cheating, scandal, blah, blah, blah. This is not news. This is just fake stuff. Kalen DeBoer, caught cheating. Alabama going to be punished. Bill Belichick, caught cheating. North Carolina going to be punished. Which of those stories gets more clicks?
It's going to be Alabama.
No, it's not. It's going to be Bill Belichick.
It's going to be Alabama.
Guarantee you it's going to be Bill Belichick.
Absolutely
Hooligans,
false.
Who's getting more clicks, Kalen DeBoer or Bill Belichick?
I'm not talking about just the person. I'm talking about the overall effect. What's going to hurt college football more? Kalen DeBoer was at Washington. He was at Fresno State.
Mm-hmm.
He was at Alabama. If he
yes.
cheats at Fresno State, he cheats at Washington. Oh, that's not good. He cheats at Alabama.
You think?
But
Sherrone Moore did something terrible at Michigan, way worse than cheating.
Yeah, but that's more about him as a person than it is about the program. The program was able to survive that.
But Alabama would survive it because it doesn't matter who the head coach is. It's a machine. That's why I'm saying the name you have tied to your program right now is what makes you the most talked about.
You're looking at a blip at the radar. I am looking at the entire history.
I think if Bill Belichick was ever involved in a college football scandal, that story would stick with us for the rest of eternity. If Kalen DeBoer is hit with a scandal at Alabama, Alabama would quickly move on. They would wash the taste out of their mouth, and we wouldn't talk about Kalen DeBoer anyway ever again.
Well, we would talk about Alabama being cheaters.
Yeah, but you'll talk about Kalen DeBoer doing it. You'll talk about him doing it, and then it will go away. Bill Belichick would be talked about.
That would hurt him more than it would college football and the school.
It would hurt college football, too.
If you really want to do this right, you have to get a big legacy school to be punished, to be devastated. It's not a legacy school. That half of the
doesn't
country,
matter.
Unless it's the SEC,
doesn't matter.
Who cares?
It doesn't matter if it's a legacy school or not. If a powerful enough name gets caught doing something stupid, that is the story, and that would have a ripple effect through college football for ages, whether it's Bill Belichick or Coach Prime. Both of those two men are more popular than Kalen DeBoer.
For now.
They are right now.
What happens when Alabama becomes irrelevant? That hurts a lot of history. What happens when CU becomes irrelevant? Whatever.
It's not about becoming irrelevant because you got caught under scandal. It's about the name of the person. Is that Benjamin? Is that Benjamin?
It is Benjamin.
It's Benjamin. Do we need a break?
Probably.
Okay, let's take a quick break here, and then we'll get Benjamin Albright, Broncos Country Tonight, join us in just a moment. Let's get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Talking a little Denver Broncos now with host of Broncos Country Tonight, Benjamin Albright. Benjamin, my friend, great to catch up with you. Ready to follow this Broncos season all year long with you, my friend. First off, the pressing question, the ankle update. How's it doing? How's it looking? Is it okay? Your ankle is what I'm asking about, Benjamin.
Right, Brady. Obviously, yes, my ankles are glorious.
Good.
You know, they continue to be toned and defined. And
perfect.
You're talking about Bo Nix, I assume.
Secondary,
Yeah, you know, if we got time. Bo looks all right out there. He's the ankle looks fine. You wouldn't know if you didn't know. I think he's pretty much, I would say, the optimal recovery that you would hope for at this point. Looks pretty smooth out there, and you wouldn't know if the ankle was hurt if you didn't already know it was hurt.
All right, so what's anything standing out in particular to you these first couple of days into training camp, Benjamin?
How blisteringly hot it is.
Yeah, it's dumb.
The offense looks smooth, man. The offense looks smooth. Jalen Waddle is everything as advertised. Evan Engram has been getting a lot of work in there, and I think a lot of people are disappointed with the production of Evan Engram last year, but he is he's a feature this year, and so it looks the Waddle and Engram things, man. They look like it's kind of bringing this offense all the way together, kind of tying it up in a nice bow, and emphasis on the homonym there, and then I think. I think this offense is finally in a position to carry its own water. It doesn't need to be carried by the defense this year.
So are you already seeing kind of the Davis Webb effect take hold, or is it far too soon for that?
I would say that it's a little bit too soon, but you can certainly see some different things. I mean, like I said, the Engram featuring thing. Engram is Davis Webb's boy. They were teammates back in New York for a season, and part of the reason he's here. I would suggest that there are some things that are different in the way that Davis Webb does them in terms of what they call on offense, and I'm kind of excited about that, excited for people to see that. I think the offense is a little newer, if that makes sense. It maybe was a little archaic under Sean with some concepts that were a little old. This is still very much a Sean Payton type offense. A lot of 11 personnel, three wide receivers, that kind of stuff. But I do think that there's some tweaks in here that Davis Webb's got the offense playing with a little bit of tempo. He's getting that tight end on the deep over, taking advantage of Engram's ability. And so I think there are some things that they're doing that freshen it up.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Do you think, you and I talked about this so much last season and the frustration that we had. I think a lot of Broncos fans had that with Sean Payton and the lack of a commitment to the run game. Is that something that you, I don't know, again, if you get a feel for that already, but I think that's what we'd like to see. Not just J.K. Dobbins, but, more R.J. Harvey, more Jonah Coleman maybe getting some real chances here. Do you think that there's going to be that real emphasis on the rushing attack?
Well, they're practicing it. The question is whether or not they'll implement that in the game. It was always interesting last year when the quotes on that from Sean Payton would be the same week to week, where it was, yeah, we got to do more of that. I'm like, well, yeah, but aren't you the guy? Like, aren't you the guy that determines that? I think they're certainly practicing that. They are practicing a commitment to the ground game. The question is whether they will implement that in game and whether they have the patience to stick with that. And that is the ultimate question.
Yeah. And again, I think, and that's the tough part too, because you look at J.K. Dobbins, what he did before he got hurt, he was awesome. Some might say, he was their best, most consistent offensive player last season. But at the same token, I want to see them run the ball more. I think you want to see them run the ball more. But you don't want to run J.K. Dobbins, to the ground either. You don't want to grind him every single week. But you want to see other guys step up, whether that's R.J. Harvey being able to tote the rock a little bit more, or maybe an emergence of Jonah Coleman.
Yeah, and Coleman certainly looks pretty good out here. Jaquan McMillan's still sticking around there as well. Don't forget about him. So there's additional bodies to kind of look at with this process, and that'll shake itself out a little bit. You do want to see more of the ground game, but JK was the only one that was consistent last year, and so it's going to take R.J. Harvey either taking a big step forward as a running back. He was great as a pass catcher, but as a running back, he's going to have to take a step forward. We're only 3 unpadded practices in, so a little bit hyperbolic to say that that somebody's there or not there yet, but that's one of those things you'll be keeping your eye on this, during training camp.
Benjamin, one of the reasons I love having you on, not just because of the great ankles and the great ankle coverage, but you can kind of give us the real story. I'm seeing a bunch of chatter about Jahdae Barron and his role on this team. I'm seeing reports anywhere from he's not looking great so far to he's going to be competing with Riley Moss even. What's the real situation surrounding Jahdae Barron?
Well, two things could be true at the same time. I would suggest that he is going to be competing with Riley Moss and Jaquan, McMillian, more Riley Moss than McMillian. But they'll move him around a little bit. You know, they want to try him out at a few different things. And this year for him is really going to be a let's see what we've got with him kind of thing. Last year was about him learning, you know, everything. Vance Joseph famously averse to playing rookies. You know, so it was about him absorbing the defense. Now it's about implementing that knowledge and seeing where he fits in this defense and then going from there. The Broncos, of course, are going to have some free agents on the defensive side of this year. Riley Moss, Jaquan McMillian, both guys in contract years. Brandon Jones, you know, a guy couldn't be, you know, might not be back. So you've got some positions along that secondary you're looking at and saying, okay, we got to figure out if this guy is a fit in one of those spots, or if we need to bring one of these other guys back, that kind of stuff, because we're going to have to save money when we put Bo Nix's eventual $60+ million a year extension in front of him. And so that's one of those things. I don't think that he's looked bad. I just think that he's a guy that's still learning. And, you know, like I said, we're three practices, unpadded practices in. Got to give that a little bit more time before we're making definitive statements on that.
Ben, I wanted to get your take, too, on and your thoughts, I suppose, on the Jonathan Cooper situation. Obviously, there seems like there's half the people that aren't thrilled that he's out there. The other half is kind of like innocent until proven guilty. This is, I kind of look at it as like, man, you're kind of in between a rock and a hard place here. If you say stay away, obviously he's losing time. Maybe, you know, if he's found innocent of everything, his trust factor in you goes away. But at the end of the day, these are very serious, a very serious investigation going on, court case, all that with Cooper. Where do you come out on the Jonathan Cooper topic?
Well, I mean, I know a bit about the situation, so I'll say this. It's an unfortunate series of events between two people who were heated in an emotional situation. At the end of the day, what this really boils down to is two people wrestling over a cell phone. Mm. You know, and it's kind of gotten overblown. Some people, somebody leaked part of the post's medical report, and they misinterpreted what that said. There's a nurse in there saying that, you know, all these things are within the range of outcomes, and people took it as literal, like this is what happened. And so, you know, it's sort of frustrating. You know, at the end of the day, it's two people who had a domestic situation that just kind of, you know, they're emotional, it spiraled, you know, and you hope that both of them get their lives right first as people, right? And then go from there. As far as the rest of it goes, I mean, the Broncos are doing what the NFL CBA mandates now, which is innocent until proven guilty. You know, we're going to continue to let him out there and do all this kind of stuff, monitor the situation, try to get help as much as possible and go from there. And so that's where they're at on that.
Yeah, very interesting. And again, glad you can come in here and kind of clear some of that up for us, because I think the people looked at that forensic nurse or whatnot and saw some of her findings, and maybe, and I even did this too, you kind of misconstrue some of that. And yeah, it sounds like the Broncos certainly had a lot of that information, which is obviously what led them to say, okay, let's get him out to practice. Let's get him out to camp.
Yeah. And I think there's something to, you know, being a support system and getting you back to work and all that kind of stuff. People can make mistakes. You know, I think that there's a great line from, what is it, Ted Lasso or whatever, that I hope that either all of us or none of us are judged by, not by our weakest moments, but by the strength we show if and when we're ever given a second chance. And I, you know, I'm a big guy who believes in second chances. I don't believe in third chances, but I do believe in second chances.
And you're probably going to be watching season 4 coming up for Ted Lasso, by the way, since you mentioned it. And not that you don't have much to do, Benjamin, but it's coming.
Yeah, me who does nothing all the time is sitting in front of my television waiting for that to drop, to be honest with you.
It's good. Did you watch the first 3 seasons? Have you seen it?
Oh yeah, I've seen that probably a dozen times.
It's great.
I love that. Love that show.
It's an amazing show. My wife and I love that. We're looking forward to it. Benjamin, my friend, looking forward to our next conversation. Maybe we'll have a bit more too, with a few more days under our belt for Broncos Camp 2026. As always, appreciate your time, my friend.
Appreciate yours, sir. And my ankles are at your disposal.
Good, because I'll be asking about them next week. Take care of them, man.
All right, brother.
Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Wow, that's kind of some interesting stuff. We'll unpack that on the other side. 12:49 the time. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Preps football broadcast will sound a little different this season.
Hear Jerry, Schammel, Bruce Dick, and the studio man Kyle Johnson every Friday night this football season. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just got a couple of texts coming in here on our last chat, and I want to unpack a little bit of what Albright was telling us about Jonathan Cooper coming up in the final hour of the show after a clip of the day. CSU Ram Tuff just tweeted at me, just remembered that Bill Belichick cheated when he was in the NFL, so what made folks think this wouldn't happen in college? Kind of going off of our conversation, which I'm totally right about. And again, we don't know that North Carolina's done anything wrong. All we know is Michael Lombardi, the team's GM, general manager, right-hand man for North Carolina, is being investigated. He's been placed on leave due to an investigation. And we do know that the CSC is kind of mentioned in this. It included other members of the athletic department. They were asking Newark, the investigator in all this, is trying to figure out if there are other members in the athletic department that are involved. And also, there's reports that the CSC is currently investigating UNC's football program, the North Carolina's football program. So again, very interesting. Don't know that he's done anything. Don't know that Lombardi's done anything. But it's a fascinating conversation, I suppose. What do we got next? Clip of the day, Mike. Clip of the day. Another big time college coach chatting it up. We'll get to that coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.